one question of Allison before, and I think Dr. Press kind of alluded to it, and when he asked if this is a 1 year, and you said it's 15 months, and I would hope that the staff and also my colleagues on the board would keep their minds open that if there are needs for additional funds in year two and three, that we would be in a position to assist the ag community, because I feel that the dollars that are going to be spent are going to be so beneficial that we won't be able to measure them in dollars, that we're leveraging over a number of years, because what this is going to accomplish in this region is just overwhelming. I don't think we can really understand the total magnitude of what this is, what's going to happen with this whole project. So I want to make sure that there is enough dollars there to do this project, and also that as we get into this, as other things are exposed, that we do not close our minds to think that we wouldn't help support and fund other additional years. Not, you know, forever, but and I don't think the agriculture community is looking for us to do that, but I think that as a responsible person sitting on this board, that I want to make sure that this project works and continues to work, and I would hate to see just after 15 months all of a sudden it started to unravel because there wasn't enough funds and we have the availability to continue to help. So I would hope the board would keep an open mind. I hope my colleagues on the board would, the staff as well as the board members, would keep an open mind to that and be supportive.
Mr. Shallcross.
One more question. On the reduction in the report writing, does that, would that any in any way hinder the community from getting their funding stream going?
Getting their funding.
Is there any relationship between the report writing item and the ag community getting their funding going from the ag community?
Perhaps in the sense that the more information and the more understanding there is out there on what cooperative monitoring is and what the benefit is, and versus people thinking, well, maybe I'll just do individual, or, you know, the program really depends on pretty widespread participation. It won't work if only half the industry participates. So from that standpoint, if it's beneficial to have more information out there rather than less, perhaps.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, anything else?
Yes.
At this point, besides public comment?
Yes.
Okay.
Part two of the presentation.
All right.
Speaking of using more funds, Julia Dyer is going to be talking about, and in your, if you go back to your blue staff report, page three, Julia Dyer is going to be talking about the student staff support.
So, yes, can everyone hear me through this? Is it on?
I don't think your mic's on.
Because the light's on.
Pull it closer to you.
Hello?
That's better.
Okay. So, yes, as Roger said, I'm going to point you guys to page three under the title Student Support. And I'm just going to speak to you very briefly about this very important aspect of the program. Basically, with the adoption of the agricultural waiver, there's been a significant increase in the workload for regional board staff. And that's why we would like to propose that we hire two students to delegate critical administrative duties to the students, freeing up our staff time for more of the technical aspects of the program. Now, with the hiring of students, they would work in three key areas, the first of which being data upkeep and management. This refers to the database, the electronic database we're developing to support the potential enrollment of up to 2,500 agriculturalists. And not just entering the data received, but as well as maintaining the database as we go through the process of the agricultural waiver program. The second aspect would be the filing and record retention. We need also a hard copy filing system to keep track of the various documents we'll be receiving through this program. There will be correspondence, documentation of compliance history, annual reports, monitoring data, as well as ranch maps and certificates of education received. And we'd like to keep that organized so we can refer to it as potential enforcement actions need to be taken. Finally, we'd need help in outreach support, and two aspects of that. One is meeting outreach. Student help would allow us to organize the logistics of the meeting, and once we're at the meeting, have student support there to help us with whatever may arise. Even at this point, we're attending farm water quality short courses where student help would be critical. There's also enrollment workshops where we're having the agriculturalists come and seek enrollment and help them enroll in the program. As well, for outreach support, we need to send out mailings from time to time, and the students can help us set that up, send out the mailings. They'll already be familiar with the database and be able to assist us in getting those things out. We're suggesting that we hire two students at $12 an hour for 1 year, 15 hours a week, and this comes just shy of about $20,000. So the recommendation is the hiring of two students using $20,000 of Guadalupe Settlement Fund monies to hire two students for 1 year. So if you have any questions about that, I promised I'd be brief.
Well, are these dollars additional to what the other dollars?
Yes.
On top of it?
Yeah, on top of, in addition to.
The critical question is whether it's UC Santa Cruz students or Cal Poly. Because Cal Poly's got a pipeline here to the regional board, but what about UC Santa Cruz? So,
UC Santa Barbara?
Yeah, well, of course, UC Santa Barbara, of course. Of course.
Well, you got UC Fort Ord, too.
CSUMB, yeah, I suppose, yes. But we would want to alert all the universities in the region.
Is the regional board actually going to hire the students, or is there another entity that's going to be the hiring entity?
We would hire the students. There's a contingency in the Guadalupe Settlement Fund that we can use the money for projects that support other Guadalupe projects, such as the ag waiver and what Allison has proposed. So it would be for us, by us.
But I think we would use the foundation, right, as a contract employee? Employer?
It would be through NIFWIF, just like with
right.
the other Guadalupe.
Right, contracts. It would be so the same way we hire our monitoring staff, where they work as contract employees to NIFWIF.
Thanks.
Any board comments, questions?
Well, I think it's a good idea. I was disappointed we only got two PYs, and some of the other regions got six or so, and
right.
12.
12. Well, I'm.
You're right. I should have mentioned that, too, so the students would be able to help us as far as that goes.
Absolutely. And I think, and I've alluded this over when we had the workshops on the ag waivers, how in the world are even with the two PYs that you're going to get, with approximately 2,500 waivers coming in, how are we going to, the staff's going to be able to handle that? And it's obvious that these two students, I would probably suggest they might need more as time goes along, and I'd be willing to support that as well.
Perhaps we can start with two, and if we see we need more,
sure.
We can come back.
But I think we need our technical staff to handle the technical issues, and then all the supplemental things that the students can handle, and I think that's really important. And because our technical staff is really going to be taxed, especially the first year, I see. Then after that, I see it probably diminishing, hopefully. But I don't know how you're going to do it with even two more, Mr. Briggs.
Yes. Well, there's definitely a trade-off. As you hire more and more students, they have to be managed, and that requires time, too. So you need to make the...
Not if they're from UC Santa Cruz.
I know. They're unmanageable. So
I'm sure it'll work out.
Well, what Dr. Press didn't mention was that if they do come from UC Santa Cruz, that he would be involved in overseeing their work to ensure that it was perfect.
Well, there's a match.
And his home phone number is 555.
What about the, where's the state board with respect to having a fee on the waiver itself? And how would that, when and if that happens, does that somehow filter down and some benefit to us?
No, that will just go back to reimbursing
the budget.
The PY allocation.
The PY allocation.
Yeah,
okay.
They are in the process of having, they're having some preliminary meetings in Region 5. And, I know they're having some preliminary meetings around the state, and they are planning to have some, I think, a meeting with Region 3 representatives at some point. And I was just told to be sure and mention that out of those 22, 5.3 went to state board. Of the 22 that were approved by the legislature,
five PYs went to the state board. All right. Okay, Mr. Briggs, are we ready to the cards? Or
yes, we are.
We are. Okay, thank you very much. Our first speaker is Kevin Merrill, followed by David Martella, then Joy Fitzhugh, and Kay Mercer. If anyone else wishes to address the board on this matter, please fill out a card and have it brought up here.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and fellow board members. We appreciate being able to talk to you today. I have a letter to read into the record, but before I do that, I would like to say and make you aware of how committed I think the agriculture has been to this. We have put in countless hundreds of volunteer hours to get to where we are today, and the scope of this is far greater, I think, than any of us realized. Having said that, though, I'm proud to say that we have met our deadlines. We have worked closely with staff in developing the budgets and to get where we are today, and we look forward to continuing that relationship with them. We're off to a great start. If we get the funding that we are asking for, I think that the program will work, and it could serve as a model for the state. Because I know a lot of other districts are looking at what's happening here. And as far as agriculture is concerned, we have stepped up to the plate here, and we have done what we said, and we have worked very, very diligently and very hard at it. I know personally I put in probably at least 100 hours of volunteer time going between here and Salinas, and it's my company, Mesa Vineyard Management, realizes how important it is and how important it is to the industry as a whole. And there's many people who have done that as well. So with that, I'll read the letter, and then I'll let my co-conspirators here in this speak. Dear Chairman Young, the agriculture industry has worked diligently and has met the timeline set forth in the conditional waiver of waste discharges from irrigated lands, order number R3-2004-0117. The Region 3 Ag Committee and cost allocation monitoring subcommittees have been formed in both northern and southern management units. The northern unit encompasses southern San Mateo, all of Santa Clara, Santa Cruz, San Benito, and Monterey counties. The southern group really is everything south of the Cuesta Grade, encompasses all of southern San Luis Obispo and Santa Barbara counties. We are also working diligently to assist growers and landowners in meeting the January 1st, 2005 enrollment deadline. Kay Mercer and Laura Judice Mills have been hired as interim program managers for both the southern and northern management units, respectively. They're coordinating outreach efforts with the Regional Water Quality Control Board staff here in Region 3 and the Agricultural Association's coalition resource agencies and others throughout the region. Growers and landowners will have numerous opportunities this month to learn more about the conditional waiver of waste discharges from irrigated lands. The Ag Committee has established a working relationship with the Central Coast Water Quality Preservation, Inc., a nonprofit, and I'll be done in a minute. A nonprofit entity will be administer the region-wide cooperative monitoring program. Representatives of the Ag Committee and the nonprofit will award the contracts for Phase 1 cooperative monitoring within the next week. The Ag Committee will continue to work diligently with the water, with its staff and the nonprofit, and fulfill our commitments for the development of Phase 2 monitoring protocol for the cost allocation assessment. We look forward to the continued support of the Regional Water Quality Control Board in Region 3 and its staff. It is signed by Benny Jefferson, Chairman of the Northern Ag Committee, and myself, Chairman of the Southern Unit. Thank you. And we are available for any questions after all of this talk, or I can answer any now.
Yeah, the question I have immediately is, what is your reaction to staff's proposal with the budget recommendation 2C? It's not the full amount that the industry has requested. It's something less than that. What's your position?
Well, I think that we have been in contact with staff on that, and we, even last night, we were talking with them, and I think that it is something that we can live with. It's something that we can make work. Obviously, it's higher than what we originally, than the staff originally proposed, but I think you understand the magnitude of what we're after, and I think we can make the 792 number at work.
Well, okay, but would you prefer the original option one? Is it in your mind a substantial bump in benefit to your work? I mean, how would you characterize that difference in about $80,000 between 2C and your original option one?
Well, I think it's because this is such an evolving process. It's hard. Obviously, I would say yes. We'd like the other $80,000 to make it work. We understand the board's position as well as staff's. Given the fact that we're not really getting any help from the state with the people that we're going to get to help on this, obviously we'd like to have the $80,000. I think if the board is open to realizing that we're going to do the best we can to follow this budget. And if we don't make those marks for some reason, we can't hire an executive director for that amount of money. If we could come back and say we are short a little bit and leave that $80,000 on the table, knowing that we could come back at some time and ask for it and do our very best not to spend it, we would like to do that.
Well, okay. Or, I mean, we could also consider option one right now. If it's critical to you, you know, I need to hear. Do you want the policy manager, the executive manager, the expert reporting, the outreach? Is that, in your mind, $80,000 worth of critical need?
Yes, I'd say we would take number one, absolutely. I think that we could also work with using that money to get somebody who is really who would be a quality candidate as the executive director. And maybe take that money from the policy manager and shift it over to that position, and to ensure that gets done under that same position. But I absolutely we would like to see number one.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Mr. Press beat me to the basic question, but my position is, and I think I've kind of stated that already, is that I would rather appropriate the total amount of dollars now. And have the discretion, the staff have the discretion with the ag community to utilize them or not utilize those dollars. Because I don't think anybody really realizes the magnitude of what we're about to start. And I would not want the ag community or our staff to have to say, stop, we got to put this on the board agenda to come back to get us to approve additional dollars. And I think the first year there's going to be things that will pop up that none of us could comprehend, and I would rather have the money there available to go forth. But the next part of the question, has the ag community found a way or started the process of getting the matching funds for part of this?
Well, we are, and we have been working on it really for quite some time. I think what we would like to do is make sure that the nonprofit board in full is seated, and then implement finding the matching funds from there. Because I think now you have four people on there, which is difficult to implement funding through the entire region. I think once we have that board in place, then we're able to do that. However, we are working on plans now to implement that.
Good. Good. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Why don't we go to our next speaker? Okay, go ahead.
I'm also concerned about not just this year, but the next year and succeeding years. And you know, where are you with respect to working on the grants that are going to be required to hopefully fund part of this? Certainly dues will fund another part of it. But
well, we are working on obtaining other grant funding. I know we're working on the 40 and 50 grants. Right now we have turned those in, the Proposition 40 and 50 grants, as well as others. We're very aware that this is your funding the first year thing, and we need to be out there looking for other money. And that's why we need to get our nonprofit board in place as quickly as possible and move in that direction.
Okay,
thank you, Mr.
You.
Chairman.
Let's have our next speaker, David Martella.
Thank you, Chairman Young, board members. My name is David Martella. I'm a farmer in Salinas. I am also the vice chair of the Ag Committee in the north. And I'm here to support the request for full funding for the first year, which goes to back to repeated statements by the board that first year funding would be in place. It's imperative, I think, for long-term success of the program to have a good, strong executive manager in place because of the size of the region and how spread out everything is, just to get that done. I also think that the report writing part of it is fundamental to get buy-in with the ag industry, so that the information that comes back is not only available or usable by the regional board staff, but it's usable by the ag industry to make the changes that are necessary, if there are changes, or to implement good farm policies and other suggestions. And I think that if the CMP is not successfully implemented, the dischargers will look to other areas, individual monitoring, watershed monitoring, which will put tremendous costs not only on the ag industry but on the regional board for increased staff, because you'll be dealing with 2,500 permits instead of one. And I'm also available to answer questions if there are any. Thanks.
Thank you. Any questions by the board? Okay, thank you very much.
Thanks.
Next speaker is Joy Fitzhugh, followed by Kay Mercer.
Good morning, I'm Joy Fitzhugh with San Luis Obispo County Farm Bureau. And I would also like to advocate for option one, the full funding. And I think you have already experienced what happens when you don't have sufficient fund and staff, with the fact that both Julia Dyer and Allison Jones have been working overtime, double time, and the NOIs, we're hoping they're out soon, which makes it less than a month, you know, to be able to, for the ag to comply. We don't want to see that sort of restriction on our ag community. So please do seriously consider option one. Something else I'd like to talk about, and that's the match funds, which you talked about with PG&E. I think you need to remember, not only is there volunteer time, but there's also already grants. Our San Luis Farm Bureau is working off of a grant specifically related to the waiver, where those grant funds could be certainly considered match funds. I think with the amount of cost and time that our ag individuals, our operators and landowners are putting in, I would be very sorry to see a dues structure put in place at this time. So I'd like to see you consider the fact that our various organizations are putting out quite a lot of money. We have ready, as soon as the NOIs are available to us, we have 1,000 letters headed out in this county from our office. So those are the sort of things I hope you'll consider, as well as full funding for the program. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, can I ask
yes.
The staff, I don't know if in-kind would be credited as matching funds, but why wouldn't grants that they have secured be considered matching funds? Is there a restriction in that?
I'm going to defer that question to Amanda Byrne because she works more closely with the PG&E funds than
okay.
I do.
She's not here?
Usually an in-kind match is acceptable. So there, I think that we usually say that it needs to be some sort of local match, but it could be in-kind.
As well, volunteer hours
yes.
could be counted. You put a numerical dollar amount on that?
People just estimate it, yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good to know.
But how does that actually help the budget? I mean, if you budgeted so many components to be done and you have the in-kind work actually not doing what you wanted budgeted but something else, it may be very important, and I'm not disputing that, but you know, that does that mean that something in the budget then is not going to be done?
Well, I would look at it this way. If they had a lot of people volunteering, and say for instance that we authorized option one, which is a full amount, and they had a number of people that volunteered to take up some of these job tasks that they don't have to hire somebody to do, that would be credited back to me, as far as I'm concerned, as dollars as matching funds, because they've substituted their time without pay, saved the money, and I would accept that.
I think the board should keep in mind the difference, too, between matching funds and leveraging. For this item, the Guadalupe Fund, there's no matching fund requirement.
Right.
There's leveraging, and there's clearly leveraging here. The matching fund is a requirement of the PG&E Fund, which is the next item. And as the chair said, it's an issue of how it appears in the budget. And in this case, the line item in the budget for the match for the PG&E money is from the Guad Fund, but there's obviously a lot of other volunteer and grant money available. It's just not shown yet as a line item in the budget.
Well, maybe we can talk about that more in the next item and get some clearer definition of that. But anyway, thank you.
Okay, we have one more speaker, Kay Mercer.
Hi, I'm Kay Mercer, and I am the coordinator for the Southern San Luis Obispo and Santa Barbara County Ag Watershed Coalition. And I thank you for giving me this opportunity to talk. I've been pretty intimately involved with all the startup costs. I was involved with the QAP development, as well as the request for proposal for contractors to submit their proposals for the Cooperative Monitoring Program. I was involved with writing the Ag Water Quality Grants. We applied for $2.5 million, one Prop 40 and two Prop 50 grants. And I was also involved with submitting the budget to the regional board. I want to assure you that we did everything we could to provide the board with reasonable, reliable, and a conservative estimate of what we will be doing. I also want to advocate that you accept option number one. I don't think it is an inflated budget. I think it's very realistic. In terms of the items that were recommended to save costs, the issue of the policy manager, if we were to go forward and hire an executive director, they would probably pick up a lot of that. So I want to allude to Kevin Merrill's suggestion that those monies be shifted to that. In regards to report writing, had three thoughts about what we might lose if we were to cut report writing costs. The first is that we have proposed, AG has proposed two sets of grower meetings. The first set is a synthetic data workshop where we use CCAMP data basically to educate the growers on what is the meaning of the data, or what do these data mean to you. And at the end of the year, we'll have a real data workshop where we collect the data that has been monitored and present that to the growers. If we don't have adequate report writing, there will be a lot of time and expense involved with trying to consolidate those data and summarize that data. The other thing in regards to report writing is we do have a lot of volunteers working. We have 23 ag associations. If we don't have succinct summaries of the data, it will be very expensive and time-consuming to summarize that data, to present it to all of the different ag associations so they can understand what's happening. And the third thing is to refer to the MRP, the Monitoring Reporting Plan. Basically, it says monitoring reports may be required more frequently than is deemed necessary in our MRP. So it did refer to the fact that we may need more reporting than the MRP is requiring. In terms of an executive director, this is a pivotal position. And we have had a lot of challenges in making the milestones to date. And one reason is because we didn't have a person in that pivotal position. We have a large geography. We have a lot of diverse viewpoints. We have large growers, small growers. We have so many different commodities, and each commodity group has different requirements as well as different hydrogeological areas that are going to have different needs. And the fact that we're dealing with so many volunteers, we need a go-to person to coordinate all of the diversity. We need a face for ag to interface with the staff and the regional board as well as the community. But the biggest thing that we need an executive director for is to write grants. Without an executive director, you'll be relying on volunteers to write grants, and as well-meaning and as most volunteers are, it probably won't get done. And, you know, example would be data mining. Without a grant to do data mining, it probably will never happen because growers probably won't want to pay for that out of their own pockets. So that's essentially it. I want to also thank all of the work that Allison and Julia and Karen have done. I've had a chance to work with each one of them, and I want to commend them on their efforts and their commitment. Thank you.
Thank you. I would just like to hear from staff, if I could, from Allison as to, sounds like a reasonable argument's been made for the full funding. My initial thought before I listened to the last speaker was to go ahead and maybe fully fund it, but then put the $80,000 kind of as committed, as funded, however, more discretionary to kind of fill in the gaps. As Mr. Merrill said, this evolves, and maybe there'll be some other needs that are a little more important than what we think right now should be used, you know, for that $80,000. But, you know, now I'm not so sure. Maybe it should be committed as proposed in the first option. So I'm just wanted your reaction.
I am certainly fine with that option. I, as we looked at those numbers and considered it, yes, there's areas where we think there could be some reductions, but it's a very kind of a small part of the overall. And if it gives us, you know, a little more leeway and flexibility over the year, I think that's beneficial. And I'm convinced after listening to that and some of our discussions that the executive manager is a critical piece.
Do we want to fully fund it as proposed, or to fund it and leave $80,000 as kind of discretionary, so that staff would, you know, have the ability, without the board, to decide whether it needs to go as requested at this point in time?
I'm not sure what the difference is between those two, because just because the money is approved doesn't mean it has to be spent, and right. staff has to approve all the invoices as they're incurred anyway.
That's our check and balance.
I think the right.
Well, but
I think the difference is that staff would have the option of moving money around
okay.
without coming back to the board. In other words, the policy manager position, if they thought that it would be better, that money would be better spent adding it to the executive manager, then they could just do that without coming back to us. That's the difference.
One thought I had was that the report writing is clearly not going to be an upfront thing. It's going to happen later on in the cycle. So, you know, that in particular could be moved around. So I would give, you know, staff the ability to move around $50,000 at their discretion. That would fill in a lot of holes. So I could take from one account and move to another as needed.
Okay. Go ahead, Dr. Bowker.
So what is the downside of fully funding? I guess the difference is $122,000-some-odd. Okay, so I know the benefits in terms of this program. What is the benefits disadvantage globally?
I don't really see that there's a disadvantage. In terms of, you know, being very careful with the funding and looking at how it's being used, and we felt that there were some cost savings, especially things like the follow-up monitoring. It didn't necessarily need to be quite that much. But on the other hand, if there's a little bit more there for follow-up monitoring, it will allow more follow-up monitoring. So
there are no negative consequences of fully funding? Is that what I understand?
No.
Well, we try to be frugal with the use of any settlement funds, and that's a responsible thing to do. And I think, as with any discussion of this kind, it's incumbent on us to think of these funds as public funds and to
right.
make sure that the use of them is fully justified and is appropriate. And that's really what we're trying to do, is strike that balance.
Mr. Chair.
Yeah. The downside is we would have less money in the fund and potentially less money for other projects outside of this,
right.
which may be equally deserving. That's the only downside that I see. And I think that's what Mr. Briggs is referring to.
Right. Okay. But we're not whittling from an existing program.
No. That's right.
No,
Dr. Press.
I don't think this money is going to be wasted. I echo Mr. Jeffrey's point that the task is enormous. The agricultural community has already demonstrated how active it is. You're talking about an increase in administration costs from a little over 15% to 18% of the total, which, given the region, is just not enormous. It's on par with, in fact, maybe even lower than admin costs for similar sized large projects. You're not biting into the capital of the Guadalupe Fund in a tremendous way, particularly since you're talking about 1 year. So the extra out of the above the interest will come back in subsequent years, although other demands may be made on the fund. But anyway, I just don't think that this is gilding a lily in any way. So I really would be very supportive of option one, and whether there's staff discretion or not, sure. But the dollar amount, I think, is absolutely reasonable.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Of course, I've already said I'm in support of option one plus the additional $20,000 for the two students. I would like to have that added as well, because I think that'll be a tremendous asset to the staff. And as I mentioned to my colleagues up here at the table, that we have the staff as a checks and balance to make sure that the funding is going where we want it to go. But knowing the agriculture community as I do, they're just as frugal as we are, or more so. And they're going to make sure those dollars work, because it's benefiting them. And for every dollar it's wasted, that means that's a dollar that they're going to have to come up with somewhere down the line to make this go forth. So with that, Mr. Chair, I would move that this board approves option number one, the full funding, plus the additional $20,000 for the students.
And I'll second that motion.
Okay.
Now, is that with the ability of the staff to move funds around or not?
Yes, absolutely.
And how much?
Well, I think it's critical that they have an executive director, because to hold this whole region together, and you have 23 or 30 ag organizations throughout the region, you're going to have one person that's going to be a point source to be able to hold this whole group, whether it's north or south, together. And I whatever dollars are needed within that amount, they may find that, as somebody said, the written reports will probably come later on in the next year, so they can move some of those dollars around, and whatever dollars are needed out of that amount. I don't know what you're looking for, Bruce, but...
Well, we can. One option is to say they have no discretion. The other option is to say they have unlimited discretion to completely move
everything. Oh, I see.
Or you can say 100,000 or 50,000 or 150.
Sounds like what he's saying. Let's go ahead to fully fund the executive director, then the difference.
No disagreement.
Between that.
But the question is, how much discretion do we want to give staff to move things from one fund to the other as needed?
I would rather not put a dollar amount on that, but I would ask that the staff, as we go forth with this, would give us some kind of quarterly report of how the funds are being used and where the budget stands, and that they've had to move funds from one category to another because they found that this other category was needed more funds than the other one. But I would leave the...
So unlimited discretion, then?
Pretty much so, but I don't want to strap them, because this is so...
pretty much discretion?
Well, yeah.
I just wanted to know. Okay, so okay. You're proposing no limit to the discretion.
Well,
I understand.
But I think the criteria...
within the dollar amount.
What?
Within
the dollar amount.
They could move between the budget items
so
themselves.
They could take all 800,000 and move it to some other need if that was required.
No. Well, no, I'm not saying
happen.
That. No, I'm saying we keep within the budget, but they may find that the written report doesn't need the total amount, but they need to have those dollars moved into another category. But I think it's extremely important to have an executive director that the staff can work
no,
with.
No disagreement
okay.
whatsoever.
All right.
I was just questioning your proposal, which were your motion. Are you putting a limit on the discretion, or are you allowing it to be unlimited? And you say unlimited, I understand.
Well, it's kind of both.
Okay, hang on. Gary.
Yeah, I'd feel a little more comfortable with some sort of limit, and if they want to move more than that, they can come back to us and ask us. And my proposal would be the difference between 2C and option 1, which is the 80. Roughly 80,000, is it?
Right, but then the executive manager is 42.6, apparently that's what we do want to go ahead and say.
No, I'm saying these other amounts.
We're funding option one.
Right.
And the question is, how much do we allow them to move
right. okay,
among the
from
categories?
One to another.
40,000.
He's
proposing
2C is fine.
40,000. Just say 40,000.
Say a number.
Because okay. because then you get your you say that you want the executive manager. A. B, say that that you have another 40,000 that you is discretionary for moving around. That's it. That's my friendly amendment to okay. your.
I accept that, and I think Allison and her group will come back and say, look, we're finding out that this is a little bit different than we thought it was going to be, and we need to move those funds around. And she can do that, but I think they're going to need all these dollars and maybe a little bit more down the line. That's why I said what I said earlier. Let's keep an open mind to this. Let's make sure it works. That's my point.
I think by giving them the full funding they're asking for and allowing them $40,000 of discretion to move around,
okay. I'll go with that.
Without having to come back to us, I think is that, would that be acceptable to staff?
I was given a little bit more latitude than that, but I'll buy that.
I think we need to keep a little more of a finger on public funds than saying you have discretion to move any amount anywhere. I know staff would never do that, but, you know, it's going to come back to us. So I would just feel more comfortable if anything over $40,000 got moved around, if they at least came back to us and said, we'd like to do this.
So that is the amendment, correct?
So to summarize the motion as amended, it is to fund option 1, 872321.
With
the categories they're in. And that does explicitly include full funding for the executive manager, okay, executive director.
And reporting.
It allows $40,000, allowing $40,000 of category discretion by staff. The motion also included the $20,000 for the two students. That's the motion, as amended and seconded.
Okay. Any other discussion or comments? Mr. Briggs? Any? Okay.
Good.
All right. Let's have our vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Motion unanimously carried.
Take a break.
We're going to take a break for how many minutes? 10 after.
Sounds good.
Okay.